Road Noise Unfiltered may contain explicit or objectionable content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Will Brubaker.
Hi, I'm Kate Brubaker.
And you are listening to Road Noise. So this is going to be the episode where we just kind of catch up from the most recent episode, which was in Orlando?
Yeah, September.
So we're just going to kind of catch up what we've been up to, what's going on, all like that. Is that kind of the idea here?
Yeah, that's exactly the idea. So I guess for starters, I flew into Santiago, Chile on December 27th. Will picked me up, and it was an immediate, like, immersion again into camper life.
It just kind of fell right back into place, right?
Well, I would argue that fact a bit.
So you didn't, okay.
It was a little bit awkward for me, a little uncomfortable. I was really concerned about taking over your space that you had been here, you know, in Moby alone for 7 months. And so I was, a bit concerned about stepping on your toes.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But, I mean, I haven't felt that way, and kind of here we are, so.
Yeah, and, you know, my fears turned out to be unfounded. You just, like, welcomed me back with open arms, and, you know, the little, like, foot dance that we do when we're getting past each other to do stuff when we're inside, just, it was, you know, it's like learning to tango, and then you never forget how to tango.
Right.
We tango, baby.
There's a song about the tango. It's really catchy, and I can't remember it now.
But does it go hot, hot, hot?
No, that's the... No. That's that steel drum one from the Jamaicas and such as.
So, Santiago. We drove straight away from the airport to Valparaiso, where we spent two lovely nights in a hotel. We would have liked to have spent a couple more for New Year's, but apparently Valparaiso, Chile is the place to be.
Like in the world. Somebody mention that was this year at least, the world's largest.
It was. They made
fireworks.
Yeah, they beat out Dubai.
Wow.
And that's quite a feat. It really is.
Yeah, so, yeah, it would have been cool. We had I mean, and I guess that also explains why rooms were booked out. Because we had harbor view. It was beautiful. Met a pyrotechnic guy that, he was pretty excited to be there anyhow. I don't know if he was, like, involved in that show, but he had a lot of work going on in the neighborhood anyhow. He was a fun dude to hang out with.
It was, and Valparaiso was really nice. lots of cool little restaurants and bars and pretty windy, like, streets. I liked it.
Yeah, so we had a couple days there, then we had to leave the town because our booking was up, and we found a campground just a little bit south, went there, spent basically the work week. I had to work, and then...
We ran into some old friends.
Right.
While we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ran into Kix Marshall, and I forget his girlfriend's name, damn it. I mean, I met her for a day last year, Christmas, so I can't remember her name. But his girlfriend was with him at the time, and so it was really great to see them. And then vacation started, and we...
Well, we cruised south from there over a weekend. Vacation didn't start until after we left Hornopiran.
Oh, so that's why we were at the gas stations. We spent a lot of time at Chilean gas stations. And you would be really surprised. They're nice.
That's the best campground in all of Chile is Copec.
Yeah. They've got clean bathrooms, showers.
Hot showers.
Hot food, snacks, drinks.
Sometimes laundry facilities.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a Flying J.
Fresh water, dishwashing sink, the whole bit. Yeah. The best bargain in Chile for sure. And I mean, that's where all of our money is going anyhow. So why not stay?
Yeah. We're going to spend a bunch of money on fuel here. So we're going to spend the night and pee in your toilets and use your shower. And then we started getting into Patagonia Verde. So I've come to learn that there are two Patagonias. There's Patagonia Verde, and then there's the Patagonia where we are now, which I don't know its name, but
just,
I would
just
say...
Just regular old Patagonia?
I would say if it had a name, it would be Patagonia Seco.
Hmm. So yeah, the landscape, the vegetative state has... Yeah, it's kind of changing. It's getting a little bit more deserty, for sure, so...
Yeah, and that's just been within the last 100 kilometers or
so. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah, prior to that, it was lush forest. It reminded me a lot of British Columbia.
Right.
Fjords and waterfalls and, you know, every time you move your eyes, there's just something that's so incredible. And sometimes that's a bit too much. I've been a little overwhelmed by how amazing Patagonia is.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And it's been a little bit hard for me to kind of wrap my head around why I'm feeling the way I am about the natural beauty here, because I'm no stranger to, like, the mountainous landscape. You know, the landscape is very beautiful, but that's kind of what I grew up with. But I still felt that this place was very, very special, and it took me a while to wrap my head around it. It's, to me, it's the water.
Yeah.
There's so much of it, and it's so just beautiful. It's that glacial blue water. Like, it's got a lot of the bits of granite in it off of the mountains, and it goes on forever. Like, it's just the color of all of the water.
It's water so blue that it makes you feel like you're in the Caribbean and you just want to jump in. But that would be a really bad idea because it's really cold.
You only wear a stocking cap in the Caribbean if you're like Mr. Rasta Man. And you hide your weed in your stocking cap, right?
I don't think you have to hide your weed in Jamaica, but that's okay. But we've had a really, really great 5 days now that we've been cruising. We've been pushing really hard. We've had some setbacks that were not only time-consuming, but frustrating. The first one was an electrical issue that Will had to fix when we were in
Coyhaique.
Coyhaique.
Yeah.
Which means camping, right?
No.
You told me it meant camping.
No.
You did.
No, there was camping yell camping.
No.
If you heard me say that Coyhaique meant camping, then I was just fucking with you, but I was...
You totally said that that was the word for camping.
Well, if I did say that, I mean, maybe it is the word for camping. I have no fucking idea if it is. If I said that, I was totally bullshitting you. And I probably felt confident in doing that because you might have been more fucked up than I was at that point in time. But then again, maybe it does mean camping. And
well, regardless, we were camping in Camping, Chile, at a Shell station. right next to a liquor store.
Kind of, brought back memories of...
Memories of Barstow.
Barstow. We can't stop here. This is bat country.
So, Will spent half a day repairing this electrical problem in the engine. And there was a brewery in town that we had heard, if you go and drink lots of beer, they'll let you sleep in their parking lot. And we were right.
Yeah, so, and it was a really nice brewery, for sure. I was really impressed. I mean, I had seen their offerings on the shelf before and had never tried it. You know, and when I'm looking at beer on the shelf, I'm doing, like, it all costs the same, but there's the higher alcohol percentage and lower alcohol percentage, and, like, anything less than 5% alcohol, I'm like, I'm not buying that. It's not really beer in my estimation.
Oh, you'd hate Utah.
Yeah, Utah's changed a little bit, though.
You can only buy High Point beer at the liquor store.
Yeah, but still, you can buy High Point beer, so it's all good. Anyhow, so I had never tried any of their beers because the highest one is 4.8. And it's I don't know, this is kind of my funny thing. The first time I ever drank a fruit beer in my life was in Chile. And... I don't know that I like fruit beers outside of Chile. Raspberry beers I do like outside of Chile. But like blueberry beers, I don't think that there's any place that does a blueberry beer like Chile does a blueberry beer.
The one that they had on offer was really delicious.
So that was Maki, which isn't a blueberry, but it's very similar.
You know how far away from sweet I like to go when I drink?
Well, I mean, but berries aren't sweet.
But this berry is unique to Patagonia, which is a good segue into our next topic.
So, yeah, and I mean, this is really fucking cool. I don't know where I heard of this guy, but I definitely heard of this guy, and it seems like we were in Mexico at the time. And it seems like it would have been John Widmer and
Heather. Their blog is Roaming Around the World.
Roaming Around the World. So they do this repositioning cruise thing, right? And they're kind of the experts.
They are the experts.
At least in my estimation.
Yeah.
The experts of, repositioning cruises, and kind of that's kind of their gig. That's what they do, and then, yeah, they really take advantage. So it kind of makes sense that they would have been in Santiago at some point.
Yeah.
And it would have made sense that, hey, we're in Santiago, let's go have a Patagonia tour while we do it, and it would have made sense that, you know, they would have come across this guy. So it wouldn't surprise me if it were John. On the other hand, my memory fails me a lot, so maybe it wasn't.
Well, but, okay.
Anyhow.
If it wasn't you, John, you still got a badass blog. So.
Anyhow, so somehow or t'other, I had become aware of, like, the story that I remember somebody telling me was, you know, hey, some guy in Chile invented his own kind of alcohol, and you should really go check it out. So we did. And it was really, really interesting. You know, this guy was... I don't know. It just kind of restored my faith in... in being able to dream and do. Like, he just had the gumption and...
the money.
You know, of course it takes that, but I mean, you've got to have more than money to do that. You know, I mean, money doesn't buy you everything.
No, it doesn't buy you passion. And he had a passion to create a spirit using native Patagonian ingredients. And they've only been in business for, what, 3 years?
At most, yeah.
Yeah.
This is kind of a brand new thing.
So we, you know, I just emailed, you know, on their contact form and said, hey, we're going to be passing through Osorno. Could we stop by and see your distillery? And he was like, sure. So we did. And this was a distillery like I've never seen. First of all, you start with the fact that he brews his own essential oils.
It was great getting the story, like he's telling the story about how he wants to, like, so there are, we're in Patagonia, 40 degrees plus southern latitude, and so winter is long and summer is not, and things have a very short growing season, and so the changes in everything happen very rapidly. And so you have this whole flavor profile that runs maybe 2.5 months, and you have a few days in that, you know, there's a window of a couple of days to capture the flavors that you want in that mm-hmm. growing season.
Yeah.
So how do you capture that? And the story he told us was that his mother suggested essential oils. And that turned out to work. So then he had to invent a way to manufacture enough essential oils to eventually, you know, manufacture a distilled spirit.
And the spirit, the name of it is Tracal. And in, excuse me, in the language of the South American people, it means...
It's the first warrior into battle, right?
Yeah.
Is the translation. Yeah. I don't know what the language is.
Yeah, it means, like, a bold person. You know, a strong person, a leader. And so I think that that really, embodies what he's done with
this
spirit.
Yeah, I think it fits very well. I mean, yeah, you know, something that was... it's really... I think that's also a really big challenge because, you know, we all have our ideas of what alcohol is. We know generally what gin is, what vodka is. You know, whiskey kind of covers a broad range of things. But, you know, if somebody says some scotch or an Irish whiskey or a bourbon, you know, you kind of know what these things are. And this doesn't fit any of that. Tracal is Tracal. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It is its own unique spirit. The manufacturing process, the fermentation process, the distillation process, it's all completely unique to itself. It's not vodka, it's not gin, it's not any other clear spirit. Tracal is Tracal.
It is, I think, in my opinion, the most unique spirit that I've ever tried. It's a sipping spirit. But you can also use it for cocktails. And
we've seen some recipes that look really nice.
Yeah, on their website, they have a lot of cocktail recipes that sound delicious, but, you know, we can't carry around Aperol and, you know, like club soda and all the shit that you need to make a proper cocktail. Plus, we don't even have cocktail glasses.
Yeah, right. And who wants to fuck with all that anyhow?
But he was an incredibly smart, dedicated, devoted guy to really highlighting that region of Patagonia with his liquor. And I think he's done that. He's well on his way.
So it was really, kind of to go back to the difficulty in promoting this, when they get these designations, they have to, you have to have a description of what the spirit is, and I'm going to read from the bottle how it was labeled in the United States. It is a spirit distilled from apples and pears with natural flavors. And that's how it's bottled, or that's how it's described in the United States. In Europe, he got something that was really cool, like the Spirit of Patagonia or something. And then that's kind of the tagline on the label as well, the Spirit of Patagonia.
And the label is gorgeous. Yeah,
you can probably describe it better than I can. That's just...
So it's a black label that goes around the bottle with the name, of course, and, you know, all the necessary information. But then the label has a separation, which is the shape of the country of Chile.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous, dead sexy bottle.
It is a sexy bottle. if you are a spirit enthusiast, I highly recommend.
Yeah, you can't miss this.
That you go and try this. See if a local bar in your area is serving it. See if you can find it at your liquor store. It's a sipping liquor. It goes really well. We tried today. We actually prepared a charcuterie today. And it paired really well with the cheeses and the grapes and the ham and salami. It just, every bite you took of something different, it changed.
It was a different experience.
It changed on your palate. It was delightful. Delightful lunch that we had today.
Yeah.
Because today is relaxed day.
Today we had I kind of want to cover this because I think it's kind of a fun story in how our decisions kind of end up being made a lot of times. And I mean, I don't know if, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Just kind of some insight. We had decided that there's a whole lot of story, but we had decided if we're going to from here go to Argentina, that today was going to be a day off. And we kind of had this idea when we talked about this yesterday, we had this idea that we're going to go back out on the main road a little bit. And there's this beautiful river called the Baker River, Rio Baker. And it's just this glacial blue river that just goes on and on and on and on.
Just it's gorgeous.
Fucking gorgeous.
I mean, like, blow your mind.
So, yeah, kind of the idea was to find some perch over the top of that river. And then this morning we woke up and we realized that the place that we're at, the showers, which are advertised as agua caliente or hot water, that is true. But that is true because it is solar heated, so like an 8 a.m. Shower. Yes, the sun is up for many, many hours by 8 a.m., but it hasn't really gotten to the point where it's heating the solar heaters yet, and so we don't have hot showers. And so at that point in time, we just kind of decided, well, we're going to have our day off here.
Well, and
this is kind of how things end up working.
We're at a lovely place. We're at a campground on the banks of Rio Cochran. We are in Cochran, Chile, right now. We had intended to continue down Route 7, the Carretera Austral, to Via O'Higgins, but after running into some friends yesterday...
And running into problems getting here.
Yeah. We kind of realized that might not be the best idea.
It's just going to put too much stress.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that means that tomorrow... we're going to pack up and head for fucking Argentina.
Yeah, that in and of itself is going to be quite the adventure, but...
I know.
I mean, I guess we've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish in this podcast. We've kind of caught us up to...
We have.
Are there any other things that we wanted to mention?
We saw a wildlife.
The rabbit?
We saw a rabbit.
Yeah, okay. We saw a rabbit.
Plenty of birds. Beautiful birds, including these gorgeous falcons that are everywhere. They're like pigeons, except they probably ate all the pigeons, which is why they're so abundant.
Oh, yeah.
Some beautiful swans. The lake district that we've been passing through is just packed with swans. And I don't think I've ever seen a wild swan in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They've always been, you know, in someone's pond or, you know, ornamental or something like that. But the scenery, and I can't describe with words from my mouth how beautiful it is. And I posted on Facebook yesterday that if you have never traveled outside the U.S. or you're looking for your next destination, Patagonia. you can do it high end with the luxury cruise through the fjords. You can do it super basic by hitchhiking. But I think that the planet, our planet, at some point is going to burn up and die. And this part of it needs to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that it's worth coming here to understand what we're trying to save when...
Yeah.
When we... You know,
exactly. Exactly.
I make a very, very contradictory point. Just, I mean, we've consumed a lot of fossil fuels getting here. However, I think that, like, my carbon footprint, despite the fact that I use a lot of fossil fuels, I think that our carbon footprint is probably less than our compatriots.
I think that we offset quite a bit.
I know I burn a lot of gasoline.
Well, yes, we do burn a lot of gasoline, but with the foods that we eat, you know, with the places that we stay.
I try and drink local beer, too.
Yes. Good job, baby.
Yeah. Didn't have to be trucked.
You know, we stay generally on just on someone's land, and we pay them for the privilege of a toilet and a place to park. And, you know, I don't know if that really has much to do with a carbon footprint, but it does help out local families. You know, I'm looking at their house right now, and yeah, really nice family, very accommodating. We have a beautiful campsite right on the river, and here we are, and we got to pack up all this shit and go to Argentina tomorrow.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, but on an end note, we haven't had a whole lot of Wi-Fi access for the last few days, but one thing that I noticed a few days ago was the White House reception for the Clemson football team.
The Clemson Tigers, yeah. National champions.
National right? champions.
NCAA footballs and such as.
So, we prepared a feast today. First of all, we have to eat all of our food because Argentina is, like, really weird and you can't bring food. Or fresh food. So, we prepared a feast today of grapes, salami, serrano ham, mozzarella cheese, bread, deviled eggs.
Mm.
God, they were good. They came out really good. I'm so proud.
Cashews.
Oh, and cashews, yeah.
Yeah.
And so we will be posting this photo of our offering to Clemson.
To the Clemson Tigers.
To the Clemson Tigers. We'll post the photo on Facebook. Or, I'm sorry. Well, yeah. Facebook and
We'll post the photo where we post the photo.
And the Insta. You'll find it. Because
our presidency is a mockery.
Ah, yeah. Oh, my God. Those stacks of, like, fucking quarter pounders, can you fucking believe it? Oh, God.
Class fucking act, yo.
I want to die. Really.
All right, I don't know. I mean, I'm not opposed to going on political rants. This is our podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want, but that's... That's not the point.
That right was now. Beyond yeah. repulsive.
Indeed.
You know, with all of the restaurants in D.C. who, you know, have no customers because everyone's, like, furloughed, you know, why not call up one of those local restaurants and say, hey, can you cater a meal for 40 people? And they would have been like, hell yeah.
I don't know. We should probably just move on from this topic.
Okay.
I mean, it really doesn't have anything to do with what we've been up to, other than we
prepared,
put together this honorary feast and decided to, honor the Clemson Tigers with our feast because we can do better than an alleged billionaire, illegitimate president.
Okay, well said.
Yeah. We're not even thousandaires. I'm a hundredaire, bitches.
No, because we spend all of our money on gas.
I'm a multi-hundredaire. All right, so, I mean, until next time, and I don't know, I mean, I enjoy doing these, but I don't think that I'm going to marry myself to any kind of a schedule, but I do expect there will be a next time.
Well, and as soon as we get to a relatively strong Wi-Fi connection, I'll be back on the blog. I've got a lot of gorgeous photos to share and some stories about, you know, more about how it felt to come back, how it felt to leave my mom and come back. So I hope that you'll stay tuned. You know, thanks for your patience. Shit happens. And, you know, we're back here together and
doing all right.
Doing all right. So on that note, ciao till next time.
Ciao for now.